This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Padres taking on the Giants tonight, 6:45, out at Oracle Stadium. I want to call it AT&T. So
I want to call it Candlestick Park, so I'm still way back.
Yeah, you're a little ways back. But joining us now, my broadcasting partner when I'm doing my other job with the Padres, Jesse Agler joins us from Oracle. Is it a stadium or park?
Park.
Oracle Park. Jesse, how are you doing today, brother?
Good, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Fantastic, man. Padres start this road trip off pretty solidly. Get the series victory out in St. Louis. Pitching for pretty much all spring, Jesse, was the hot topic. We didn't know how these guys would fare, but you look at these first 10 games, you got to be pretty happy with what you've seen from the starting rotation.
Yeah, I mean, from an effectiveness standpoint, I don't think there's any question. You'll take the raw numbers. But the thing that I think is concerning to me now and will continue to be concerning until it changes is the length of these guys.
You know, no doubt. I mean,
you've had one starting pitcher go six innings in a game this year, and that was Eric Lauer, who starts tonight, and it was on opening day. So that's now 10 games ago. The last time you had a starting pitcher go six innings, that is, I think, to state the obvious, not a sustainable thing to do. You know, you need these guys to be able to work deeper and deeper. And look, when it comes to a Chris Paddock or somebody like that, there are going to be, you know, strict limitations on what he can do. And so it's the Lowers and the Luke Casey's and maybe even Strom as he gets more and more built up that you're going to look to have those deeper outings. It would also be nice, you know, if you could, you know, put up a touchdown on somebody here and you know, kind of cruise to like a 9-1 type of victory so that you're not using Stammen and Yates every time you've got a lead. You know, it's nice winning games, but they've all been close. And look, there's going to be questions that still need to be answered with the pitching staff, but you're right. It's been effective. It's a big reason why they've got the record they do so far.
A lot of people keep saying, why can't they hit with runners in scoring position? I think that's kind of one of those just arbitrary statistics, isn't it, Jesse? I mean, guys, sure they bear down and want to get a hit, but guys always want to get a hit. So the fact that they, you know, it's kind of a weird one.
There's more than enough research on it at this point. I mean, I'll bring it up on the air because I think it can be notable, you know, to the story of a game, but it's not a predictive stat. And all you have to do is look at, you know, take your normal hitter. Now, look, they're going to be outliers always. They're going to be your Machados, your great hitters, and they're going to be guys that are bad hitters. And so maybe you get some weird stuff with that. But for like your normal major leaguer, there is no year-in and year-out you know, consistency with runners in scoring position numbers. A guy could have an unbelievable year with runners in scoring position in 2017 and be absolutely terrible in 2018. It's just one of those things, like you said, it's more random than we want to believe because we want to believe that these guys are up there making great mental adjustments or that a guy is mentally weak and that's why he's crumbling. It's just not, unfortunately, I guess, for the storyline, the reality of the situation most times.
That's why I'm not discouraged by it because I know my father always used to say it's about the opportunities. You want to keep creating the opportunity because the more you get into them, statistically, you'll have a better chance of coming through. So,
and that's it. Here, would you rather, you know, go through a game where you're 3-for-5 with runners in scoring position or 1-for-13? Now, obviously, you know, from a run-producing standpoint, 1-for-13 isn't great, but that's a lot of opportunities. And over the long haul, you would think, okay, we're getting a lot of guys on base. All these doubles they've had are putting runners in scoring position. That's going to flip in our favor at some point.
Jesse, the Padres call up Luis Urias. They also call up Brad Wick as well. Cordero goes to the IL. I got to make sure I say that. Cordero goes to the IL. Aaron Loop also goes to the IL. How are the Padres planning to use Urias? Because that infield, everybody's still pretty locked in there, and it hasn't been the defense has been fantastic.
Yeah, that was definitely, you know, one of the first questions that Andy Green got just a few moments ago down in the dugout here at Oracle Park. And, you know, he said he's going to play some. He's also going to, you know, he's going to play pretty regularly, it sounds like, at second base. You know, they do believe in Ian Kinsler and his offense, and they want to get him on track. And so, you know, they'll mix and match where they can. Urias is also going to get some time at shortstop. You know, okay. I mean, Andy says he has made it very clear to Fernando Tatis Jr. that he is not going to play 162 games this year.
Right.
He wants to. Right.
Exactly. He's got the energy of a guy who looks like he can. But the word Andy used, which I thought was a really good and interesting word, was discipline. He said this is an organizational decision. This is something, you know, that we've talked about for a long time, and we're going to be very disciplined because it would be easy to run him out there every single day and write him in the lineup because of what he brings. But they don't want to run him into the ground. You know, they don't want him, you know, basically with no legs in August and September.
Right.
So, you know, you'll see Urias at shortstop. They'll do some mixing and matching. They want to get Kinsler on track. But, yeah, it'll be a little bit of everybody. And, you know, it's another one of those things, guys. It takes care of itself at some point, right? I mean, you know. Fernando Tatis Jr. was not supposed to be here yet, and he went out and had the spring training that he did. He forced their hand, and so, you know, maybe that same kind of thing can happen at second base. We'll see.
Jesse, I'm going to give you a hypothetical just for fun.
Okay.
Let's say you were the broadcaster for the Baltimore Orioles, and you just had to call Chris Davis's 46th consecutive at-bat without a hit.
Did that tie the record or break it?
He tied it.
Okay.
But how heartbreaking must that be to be part of that in Baltimore? It's got to be so tough because if you were especially if you're the play-by-play for the team, you know the guy, you travel with the guy, you don't want to see this happen to anybody.
It's a bad feeling. It is. You know, I mean, obviously we're to some extent supposed to be impartial here, right? You know,
right.
I mean, we're trying to describe what's happening and we're not trying to be over the top with anything. But as you said, we travel with the team. We get to know these guys on a personal level. You develop relationships. You know, you try not to let them cloud your judgment or anything like that. But that can't be easy. You know, it really can't. And especially, and I'm not saying this one way or the other about Chris Davis because I don't know him, but, you know, if it's a good guy, it makes it even worse. You know, I mean, it's just it's a really, really difficult situation. But you know what? When you're broadcasting, I'm sure over the course of your career, you're going to see something like this happen on a number of occasions, and it's part of the gig. But that particular one, I mean, you knew it was going to be a tough year in Baltimore. You knew it was going to be a long year. You knew the team wasn't going to be very good from a win-loss perspective. But to kind of see the guy who I guess is now right the default face of the franchise, you know, go through that kind of struggle, it's sickening. I mean, it's just it's got to be about as tough as it gets.
Joining us now is Jesse Agler on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Jesse, we talked a little bit about the offense's lack of production with runners in scoring position, but I think when you look at the entire body so far, you got to be pretty pleased with this offense, especially since they've hit the road. It seems like the bats have woken up. Hunter Renfroe swung the bat well. Franmil Reyes continues to have some bad luck really out on the field, but you're starting to see that core part of the lineup, Hosmer, Machado. Those guys are really putting some serious work in the middle of the lineup.
Yeah, it definitely woke up a little bit, and I think you hit on something when you said when they hit the road. I think it was nice for Machado to get the one at Petco, but there was some pressing there. You know,
no doubt.
You know, I mean, it's human nature, and why wouldn't there be in that situation? But I think that we haven't even seen it at its best yet. I mean, this team is still winning, you know, kind of low-scoring, close games for the most part. We talked about the pitching. I mean, there will be a time sooner rather than later, and I don't know that it happens here at Oracle Park,
right,
just kind of the way the place plays, but there will be a time sooner or later when they just go crazy. And, you know, those four doubles that they hit in the game yesterday will be four home runs, and, you know, it'll be a blowout type of situation. There are very real major league bats up and down the order. I mean, to me, the most exciting thing I saw, I think, on the road trip so far was the game in St. Louis on Saturday.
Yes.
You know, you had Hedges out of the eight spot kind of getting it going. And then, you know, you did get the homers from Hosmer and Machado, but it was Austin doing that. You had the pinch hit home run in the game on Friday night. You had Cordero and Tatis, you know, in the bottom half of the order getting big hits on Friday also. So, I mean, there's length to this lineup. It's a very real thing, and obviously you don't want to get up and get a hot dog when Machado is due to hit, but now you got guys batting sixth and seventh where you can pretty much say the same thing about them, and that has not happened in San Diego, they tell me, in a very long time.
No hot dogs this year. You're absolutely right. Last thing for me, Andy Green seems like he's on a hot streak this year, and I think it has to do with the fact that he's got a lot better players. He said so before the season. We asked him, is it going to be tough to manage all of these guys and get them playing time? And he just said it was going to be better. And I think that he's kind of defined that because every time he's made a move, it's been better. There's guys that can come in and do some damage when you make a move.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I'm trying to think of a name, not to pick on somebody, but like, you know, when Alexi Amarista is your pinch hit option in the eighth inning a couple of years ago, and now it's Hunter Renfro or Will Myers
right.
or Franmil Reyes, that's everything.
Yeah.
And now credit to those guys for coming through in those situations, but that is a very, very big difference. And it's allowed Andy, I think, to be a little bit more aggressive, you know, sometimes in the pinch hitting ideas. Even Mejia, you know, I mean, Mejia coming off the bench with a big hit in the fifth inning the other day. You know, the depth of the roster is significant. We just talked about how 1 through 8, you know, there's guys that can do damage. I should have said 1 through 11 or 12 because everybody on the bench is capable of doing something really big. And the Cordero injury obviously hurts a little bit, and it does change the calculus in the outfield some. But, you know, there are still going to be every single day with this group, even without him, guys can come off the bench and do real damage.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Jesse. The depth has allowed Andy to be more aggressive. He hasn't had to play the conservative role that we've seen him in the past couple of years. You mentioned Franchi Cordero, so I guess I need to ask about it. Are the Padres concerned about this? I know he had the elbow issue last year. Are they concerned that this could be something long term?
I would think they are. I mean, all they told us today was that he's back in San Diego now getting tests.
Okay.
And that's never something you love to hear. Usually, you know, maybe at first you hear, oh, well, you know, we give him a couple days to rest and see how he feels. But because of the injury last year, because of the surgery, I think they wanted to take a very quick and close look at it. So obviously it's not a best case scenario by any stretch of the imagination. It is the same elbow as last year. You know, and they said it's been bothering him. This wasn't, I think, like a one moment thing. You know, he hasn't been putting together the kinds of at bats, that, you know, they expected from him because it's been bothering him. By the way, Tatis just like smashed one over the left field like over the 382 in left center, like 10 rows.
That's a long way at that part.
It is in the rain too. Like it's this guy can hit. it's not a great, you know, deal for Franchi, and maybe the tests will show that, hey, you know, it's nothing too serious and we can let it rest a little bit. But you know, we'll wait and see on that.
All right, Jesse, I know the kind of work you put in before these games, so I'm gonna let you get back to it. We appreciate you coming on as usual.
Thanks, Jesse.
Always a pleasure.
Good talking with you, sir. Jesse Agler right there.
That was
SDCCU. Hotline. You got it.
Nominate SDCCU Best
Sorry.
Credit Union in the Union Tribune. Readers poll daily at SDCCU.com/nominate. San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big banking. It's better.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.